what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Blind Side Blitz. I'm Jim McPhee, and right there is Mr. Joe DiCapita.
What's going on, Blitz Nation? Welcome back for another great show, and wow, this week has not been a disappointment. We're talking not one, but we had two big trades that happened, and then we're going to get to our X-Factor players for the NFC this week. But before that, we got to talk about these trades, Jim. It is crazy what has just transpired. We got the Miami Dolphins and the Steelers commencing a trade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right, Joe. And it was funny. I was kind of watching to see what happened here because we follow our guy, John Frisella, on X. And he brought up a good point here about this whole thing with insiders and stuff because Ian Rappaport's saying, this trade is dead. Nothing's going on. And then we got new school guys saying, yo, it's very alive. And then now it goes down. And Ian Rappaport comes right out and says, man, we're something that I just didn't hear anything now. It was dead. They somehow turned it around. So trying to save face, I think, is hilarious in the whole situation. So now you know some of these new school cats, you got to watch what you're doing. You got to watch and listen to these guys and follow them on X and Twitter and Facebook and all those guys out there and YouTubers. They know they're just as in as some of these other guys. But we talked about Jalen Ramsey getting moved. I'm surprised, I think, that the Steelers were willing to let go of Minkah Fitzpatrick in this situation here.
Well, that's part of the negotiations.
Like, no, I get that, too.
What they would want and what they were willing to give up. And the crazier thing about this whole scenario, by the way, the trade went as follows. Jalen Ramsey and tight end Jonnu Smith get sent to Pittsburgh to get Minkah Fitzpatrick. Now, with draft picks that are involved, the Dolphins send over a 27 seventh rounder, and the Steelers send a 27 fifth rounder. So that all being said for this trade, it baffles me that I heard out of Pittsburgh that they envision Jalen Ramsey as a upgrade, is how they worded it. Upgrade over who? Because it ain't Minkah. Right.
No.
It's no way it's Minkah Fitzpatrick. It might be an upgrade over your current cornerback class, maybe. And he does fit Pittsburgh's defense. They play heavy zone scheme defense, which does fit, and it helps protect Ramsey because we've all seen him get beat on one-on-ones, you know, and against really good receivers. And this is a way you can kind of camouflage that. He's going to Pittsburgh. You know that they always have a really good defense. Now they're going to pair up Ramsey with Joey Porter Jr. on the opposite side. And those are your two physical, big-sized corners that they love to have, and they fit that scheme extremely well. So they envision it as an upgrade. But I envision this trade as a downgrade for the Pittsburgh Steelers because – yes, you're adding Ramsey. Okay, cool. But he is at the end of his career. And you're letting Minkah Fitzpatrick go, who's been one of the defensive captains of this team, who's been holding it together on the back end of that defense, who's made play after play over and over for that defense. And now you're sending him to Miami. Kudos to Miami for getting this deal done.
Right.
Because I got to say, they just upgraded their secondary. And now you have we can all debate this until we get to the week one, week two, week three, until we can finally see for ourselves on the field just who exactly won the trade. But hindsight's 2020, but I'm saying right now that I think Miami won this deal.
Yeah, and yeah, it's funny because, again, I'm reading all over about how the winners and losers and the winners are Pittsburgh in this whole thing. And I'm kind of like shocked.
Wow.
And I'm looking at this and I'm kind of like trying to play it out in my head. I'm like, all right, yes. Now you bring Jalen Ramsey, who doesn't have to be the guy. You've got Joey Porter Jr., who looked all right. You know, there were a lot of people liked him last year, wanted him to be defensive player of the year, rookie of the year.
Scratch.
And you got Darius Slay there too as well. So you're adding more older players, and it's very similar to what the Jets kind of did when they all went all in with Aaron Rodgers and stuff like that too. And for me, it doesn't seem like they're like, oh, it seems like now they're going to go all in and they're going to make a move and they're going to re-sign TJ Watt, you know, and lock him in. But for me, it seems like another team that's out of touch with everything and trying to grab veteran players that I don't think really are going to make that big of an impact. When you already even have aging players on your team already, you know, Cameron Hayward, you know, things like that, who are still good players. TJ Watt, again, who's one of the top in the league, but injury prone on top of it. And, you know, I think they're an aging team here at this point. Yes, I think they're going to try and make a run for it. But when you look at the trade, especially picking up Jonnu Smith, and I mean, he had some production here, especially last year with the Dolphins and stuff. And I get that, but that
he had a really good year with
is
them.
Different than what this Arthur Smith offense is like. And I know Arthur Smith is very familiar with Jonnu Smith back from the Tennessee days, so he'll fit kind of his scheme. And I know Aaron Rodgers also likes to try to get it to your tight ends as well, but you've got Freiermuth there on top of it. So what kind of impact really is Jonnu Smith making in this whole situation here with this team? And on the other side, you bring up the fact that even the Dolphins get a fifth-round pick, which I wasn't aware of, on top of the trade with Minka Fitzpatrick going back to Miami. Yes, it didn't work out before, but he had Adam Gase and he had Brian Flores. They
different
kept him in the box, a different type of situation. They weren't playing him right like you should be. I think he's going to be an upgrade for those guys here on that defense for Miami. And I agree with you. I think Miami did better in this trade.
Yeah. I mean, going back to you bring up Jonnu Smith and just what is his responsibility going to be in this offense? Well, it doesn't hurt to have more than one tight end. And we've seen Pat Freiermuth get injured last year and miss some a little bit of time. So I think by getting a familiar face with Arthur Smith, teaming them back up, now you have two tight ends that he can really rely on. One is more of I think Freiermuth for me is more of an every down type of tight end, a guy who is very skilled in his receiving. And don't make no bones about it, the guy's going to make the play. But he's also a good blocker. And Jonnu Smith is not known for his blocking skills. He's more of just a receiving threat. So you might see red zone, you know, plays that come out with Jonnu Smith involved in them just because he's more of a receiving threat than Pat. So I think he's going to fit well in this offense when it's all said and done and it gets going and they start to gel. So, I mean, I think it was kind of like a throw-in. They were looking to unload Jonnu Smith, too, which I kind of scratched my head a little bit because shortly after they made this deal, they started looking for another tight end. They started looking for teams that they could possibly trade with to get another tight end. And they did so, and they acquired with none other unretired, I'll say, from the Giants, Darren Waller. Mm-hmm. Now, Darren Waller is going to be sent over to the Miami Dolphins for a sixth round and then a conditional seventh round pick. He signed a 1-year deal worth about $5 million. So low risk. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a high reward. We'll wait and see just how much tread he has left on the tires. When he was involved in the NFL, he was a dangerous man when he was healthy, though. Like, this is a man who has been hurt over and over and over, and you just kind of wondered, is this guy ever going to get healthy again and come back and play?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess he's had long enough time to get back out on the football field, and but here's the crazy thing is, we're still not we're not close, really, to week one. Like, we still got at least a month and a half to go here before we get to the NFL season. What's to say this guy comes in? Who knows? Is he in shape? He's out of football shape. You know that for sure. He's going to come in here and try to catch up to speed with everybody else. But it's like, what happens if he, you know, pulls a hamstring again? Mm-hmm. And then he's out for several weeks. And then he comes back and re-injures. And it might not work out due to his inconsistencies in health. But the reward is great if he can stay healthy. And it's basically a 1-year rental. Because this guy is in the early stages of his 30s. I think he's going to be 33 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, how long after this does he want to go? Like, is it just this 1 year? Like, it's kind of, it doesn't make sense to me, the move, because you had Jonnu Smith on your roster. You decided to move him out, and now you trade for a guy who's unretiring to come back and play this year.
Yeah, yeah, that was a head scratcher to me. As a Giants fan, I was kind of excited the fact that we were actually able to get something out of this whole situation. I'm like, all right, we got something out of this because, again, we didn't get any production out of Darren Waller when we were there and he was there. We were excited to have him there, and then it never really panned out. And I know he's come out on podcasts and said, oh, they weren't playing me right. Once all of a sudden I lined up, I got fullback. I knew I was done. Forget those guys and blah, blah, blah. Like, they were trying to find a place where you might have fit somewhere, buddy. And you weren't fitting in. You weren't staying healthy. So this is the one head scratcher for me as the Dolphins. You know, again, this is what you do. You get rid of Jonnu Smith, but then Darren Waller is your next opportunity.
Right.
It's very strange. But like you said, you're not investing a whole lot, so it could potentially work out for you. But you're giving up a guy last year. I think Jonnu Smith had around, I don't want to say maybe 800 yards or something like that, but a contributor. Maybe that was the deal, though. Maybe they wanted Minka Fitzpatrick so badly that, hey, maybe that was the deal breaker to where Arthur Smith is like, sweet the deal. Maybe throw in Jonnu Smith on this whole thing. And they're like, ah, screw it. You know, maybe we'll do this, and then we'll figure something else out. You know?
I mean,
that's the one honestly, downside like, after this whole trade that I didn't like with the Dolphins, but. We shall see.
Well, yeah, so for Jonnu Smith this past season, he had 88 catches.
Yeah.
Like a wide receiver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was treated like a wide receiver, just a mm-hmm. big guy. So 88 catches, 884 yards receiving, 8 touchdowns. He had a phenomenal year for the Miami Dolphins. And, again, why do you get rid of this kind of production on your team? A guy who already understands the offense, who was ingrained in it. I'm lost on this move right here alone. The tight ends that got traded, it doesn't make sense for the Dolphins. Why are you trading Smith away, and why are you trading for a unretired tight end now coming to you? So what happens if Darren Waller, once again, to be expected, you know, no ill will towards Darren, but That's the way the history's been with this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
So what happens if this guy gets hurt in camp? Let's just say he doesn't tear anything, but he majorly pulls his hamstring because that's kind of a common thing with him. And now he's out past, you know, week one, week two, maybe even week four. We don't see him till. What are you going to do then? Then are you just going to be like, all right, well, we traded for this guy. We're going to just go sign anybody off the free agent wire. Like, I don't think this was well thought through. I think maybe when it was all said and done, the Jonnu Smith move, maybe not to Miami's liking. Maybe they had to throw him into this to get the deal done. And that's honestly what I'm starting to think.
Yeah.
And because of that, after they made that move, then they were scrambling saying, hey, we're calling this team, we're calling that team, we're calling the other team. Who could we get a tight end from? You know, and they were just mm-hmm. calling around. Well, it's awfully funny how a retired player can get traded in today's NFL.
Yeah, just like that. If a team figures, you know, likes you enough, you know, whatever, you know, we'll find out. But, that's the interesting news that went down. A lot of talk about it. I'm interested to see how it plays out. You know, it's funny when a team drafts you, trades you to a team, and then brings you back in. So I'm interested how that's going to work out. But that'll be great for the Miami Dolphins again, too.
Oh, yeah. I think it'll be
great for them.
The Minka move. So, yep,
absolutely. Sure. So, Joe, we got a bunch of people watching out here. We want to give a shout-out to everybody out here. Welcome to the Blindside Blitz. Joe, why don't you tell everybody where they can find more videos like this one?
It's real simple. I mean, you guys that have, you know, checked our show out, or maybe you're new to the show, it's real simple. Head over to YouTube for us over at Grumblings Media. Make sure you hit that subscribe button for us. Hit the thumbs up, too, because it does go a long way to let YouTube know, like, hey, we should probably move these guys up, get other people to see them. Because they're being appreciated. Don't forget to share to all your family and friends as well. We thank you guys out there, but we also want you guys to be part of the show. So make sure you drop in the comments section down below. Let us know what you think about this Miami Dolphins Pittsburgh Steelers trades, because not one but two happened. Let us know what you think about it. Do you think it's a little fishy there with trading Jonnu Smith and then getting a retired Darren Waller, or do you think this move is going to work out for the Miami Dolphins in both scenarios?
Yeah, absolutely, Joe. So, all right. So last week we ended up doing X Factor players for all the AFC teams. This week, I put a little more thought into it and took a different angle too, like what you were doing, because I don't know. Because again, there's a different way that X Factor is defined a bunch of different ways. You know, because there's somebody that's got raw talent or talent that can elevate the team and be able to help you, you know, judge where you're going to win or lose the game. But as I was looking at some other judgments of people's definitions of X factors, they're looking for that guy that potentially, you know, could be that game changer to break out or be that guy that can change the win loss column for the team. So I took a little bit of a deeper dive. There's going to be some familiar names, but there's going to be some other guys too out there. So this week we're doing the NFC X Factor players. Guys, play along with us too. Let us know your team is out there and give us their X Factor player who you think too as well in the comments. All right.
Yeah.
So,
know too. You know, do you agree with our X Factor player for whatever the team is, or do you disagree, or would you pick someone else and let us know?
Absolutely, Joe. Most likely you'll disagree, but we don't care. It's all good. NFC, let's start up. Yeah, exactly. Let's start up with the NFC East, Joe. You know, we'll go right from it. Let's go with the Dallas Cowboys first here. Dallas Cowboys, who do you have for your X-Factor player here for the Cowboys?
So for my X-Factor player this year, I went with none other than tight end Jake Ferguson. Not CeeDee Lamb. Not George Pickens, because they're going to draw all the attention. They don't have a running game.
We've
seen this trend happen before with Dak Prescott. He loves throwing the football to Jake Ferguson. Give me Jake Ferguson as my X-Factor player this year for the Dallas Cowboys.
Mm-hmm. I had looked at Jake Ferguson, and I was thinking about it. And I was like, yeah, because even when they're together on the field, it is a difference maker. I forget what the actual stat is here, but I want to say 221 completions maybe together or something like that. Hooking up a lot, scoring. He's a key factor for them. So when Dak Prescott is healthy, he's a factor. And that's what we hope to see this year for Dak and the Cowboys. When Cooper Rush was in there, that's when you saw last year Jake Ferguson, again, take a step backwards. So I'm looking to see him bounce back too as well. But for me, even though he's injured, he's suffered, you know, PCL, MCL tear and things like that. My guy is DeMarvian Overshown. Very impactful when he's in the game. Again, coming off of a major injury, and it looks like he might be able to play by Thanksgiving, but they're saying his recovery time is happening quickly, so maybe he can get out before them. So I think even that being part of it, he could be the X factor player for them once he's inserted into this lineup to help impact that defense here. Well, Dew was struggling and looking for guys to have an impact when they didn't have a Micah Parsons and guys like that in the lineup.
Yeah, I mean,
it's Overshown.
So DeMarvian Overshown, excellent talent before the injury. Because of how serious this injury is, we've seen guys like Jalen Smith come back from a major injury, having already done so in college. And when they come back, it usually takes a long, long time. Look at Matt Milano when he came back. He was a shell of himself in Buffalo. That's the only thing that I worry about Overshown coming back. And if the timetable is correct and they're looking at maybe Thanksgiving when he returns or around there, he's not going to be the same Overshown that we saw before that injury right away. It might take even the rest of this year for him to get his legs underneath him. But that's the only thing that I worry about with a major injury like that. It takes a while, even when you are healthy or deemed a clean bill of health, it takes a while to get back to where you were before, even close to it.
I give a shout out to Jake
Jake Ferguson.
Jake Ferguson out there. Shout out to Jake Ferguson. Nathan Christopher in the house.
What's up, Nathan?
There you go. See, I can't even read properly. It's like, okay, read what's the monitor.
We'll get there.
Yeah, right.
Don't put it on the monitor.
I'll read it. I'll read it backwards. That's what I'll do. He needs to take his time coming back. No need to rush it. Yeah, I hear you there. And that's why I was weighing with some of these guys too. Again, some of them may be coming back from injuries, but then also again the impact I could potentially have on this one.
Oh yeah, for sure. So guys gifted for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So all right. So next up we've got the New York Football Giants. I know Nathan doesn't want to hear anything about them, but what do you got for the Giants?
So for the Giants, I really wanted to go with Jalin Hyatt, but because he's not in the real starting lineup just yet, I'm hoping for him, but I'm going to go with a different wide receiver. I'm going to go with Wandell Robinson this year. He's going to be my X factor for the Giants. This is a guy who, when he's healthy, and that's kind of been the thing, is when this guy's healthy, he's a difference maker. He can move the chains for you. He catches a lot of footballs. You know, looking back last year, had 93 catches, just shy of 700 yards, 699, and only had 3 touchdowns. I'm looking for him to take another leap, but with a better quarterback, a guy who's already supplanted in New York, a guy who's been there and done that in Russell Wilson, a guy who's going to get them the football, get it to him routinely, get it to him in the right spot. I'm looking for Wandell Robinson to be my X factor this year for the New York Football Giants.
All right. I like it. I looked at Wandell too as well. Again, gotta stay healthy, and when he is out there, he can make a difference. I also looked at Jalin Hyatt too as well because, again, I feel like again he's gonna be kind of one of those X factor guys for Russell Wilson because I think they just really fit each other. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But for me, with the lack of production and where we were on defense, and now the upgrade that we've got, and again. Kind of trying to get back to his ways, I went with Javon Holland, the addition, that they had here at safety. Because, again, last year, nobody really good. I mean, Jason Pinnock we've been dealing with for a while on and off. An upgrade there at the defensive side, that's just going to change things in that back end here to that defense. So, again, I'm talking about a game changer to help out on that in the deep side, deep passes, things like that, playing that safety position to where we were lacking for a very long time. So I think for me, that's going to be a key player if he can get back to the ways he used to play. So I'm liking Javon Holland here as my X factor player here for the New York Giants.
All righty.
Nathan says, I really do like Robinson and Russ. I do think they are going to be good, and Robinson is going to see a tick in production.
All right.
There you go. He agrees.
Comes together.
Look at that. Cha-ching. All right. So next up, X-Factors. We're talking about NFC X-Factors here. Play along with us. We're in the NFC East right now. We're going looking at the Eagles right now, Joe. Eagles.
Philadelphia Eagles. They were tough to pick one. I mean, they were really tough because there's so much good talent from top to bottom with this team. A team that really doesn't have much of a weakness anywhere. So I went with a little unknown player because he just got drafted. And that is linebacker Jahad Campbell. I think this dude is going to easily get into the lineup as we approach week one. And he's not going to relinquish it at all. This guy is going to be a star. He's going to be an absolute stud on the field. He can go sideline to sideline as a linebacker. He can cover. He's a great tackler. I mean, this dude is like a heat-seeking missile. I love this dude out of Alabama, Jahad Campbell. He's going to be amazing. 6'3", 240+. I mean, I'm excited. I'm excited for him. I'm not an Eagles fan, but I'm excited just for the kid. You know, Jahad Campbell and his talent, I think he's going to be excellent this year as a rookie.
Yeah, I looked at him too as well, and I'm looking at the same side of the ball too as well here, Joe. I'm looking at the way how with the defensive side to where they lost a couple key pieces here, veteran talent, to where now this guy has kind of he's hasn't had a lot of starts, 10 starts last season, but still contributes every time he's out there and being one of those good positional guys you can just sub in. But now he has to step up and be that guy. So I think he can potentially be that difference maker here now that those guys, you know, Brandon Graham gone, Josh Sweat, and I'm talking about Nolan Smith. Mm-hmm. Being a guy who could be an impact player here on that defense, now kind of up, you know, moving up to that kind of starting spot here. So, and I think it's his third year too. So now he really wants to perform this year.
Be better.
So, yeah, exactly. So I'm saying Nolan Smith is going to be my X factor player.
Yeah, I like Nolan Smith a lot. The only thing that I worry about Nolan Smith is not his pass rush ability at all. I think it's his able to anchor, you know, when needed. When teams are going to run on his side, he better be able to get around them and not get caught up into the trash, you know what I mean, and get discarded because he's not the heaviest dude, not the most stout dude. So he's definitely a pass rush specialist for them. But that's the only thing that I worry about him is, like, in the run game, how well he's going to perform there. But he's a unbelievable talent. I'm excited to see what he can do, you know, now being inserted into the starting lineup and given a chance out there for Philly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Nathan says, I'm picking the water boy and the ball boy as my X factors.
Gotta stay hydrated. Gotta stay hydrated, and you need a good ball boy.
You do. You do need a good ball boy.
Which is weird. Can we change that name, ball boy, because I've seen ball girls out
there.
That's
right. That's true. We need to change with the times.
And I've also seen men, like ball men.
That's right.
So it's like we gotta.
So yeah, don't they call those? He's not an equipment manager, but they would have to be equipment personnel or something like that, or ball possessionist.
Ball jockey.
Yeah, that's even better. Yeah, I know. I really, that could go in a lot of crazy places, Joe. I don't know about ball jockey. we'll just leave that one alone on that one. So, okay. All right, so we're finishing up the X-Factor players for the East. We're going to get into the NFC North in a little bit. The Washington Commanders, Joe, what do you got?
I have none other than rookie corner Trey Amos for the Washington Commanders because their secondary is not that solid at all. Like, they got Mike Sanders still, who was a standout player last year for them. You know, that's nice. Nice nickel corner there. You know, they pull off the trade for Marshon Lattimore. Cool, but when the guy's healthy, he's an elite corner. Like, he's talented. But it's when he's healthy is the problem. This guy has been injury riddled for most of his latter part of his career. And it's hard to tell week to week, is this guy going to be in the lineup or not? So Trey Amos, to me, I feel like is going to get some significant playing time or even beat out another corner that's already on the roster for a starting job. So give me the rookie, and he will be a sensation, Trey Amos.
All right. Yeah, I wasn't sure where to go on this because they did make a bunch of moves via draft, free agency too as well. But, again, I'm looking at the team of last year and how they have improved and what they did to improve to where I think one of these guys, again, even though he's a proven commodity, so it doesn't somehow fit – it doesn't fit X factor sometimes for, again, whatever your definition might be. But I think for what they were so terrible at last year, and that was run defense, like, you know, this is a major upgrade. So they're near last in run defense here. I think Javon Kinlaw was a great upgrade here for them on defense. Like I said, he's still a proven player. He's a really good player, but something they drastically need who's going to make a major impact, I think, on that defense.
Javon Kinlaw is he's a mysterious figure. He hasn't really had the best of luck with any team he's been on so far in his young career. The Niners drafted him. He played there a couple years, didn't work out. They moved on, went to another team, couldn't stick there either. Now he's on his third NFL football team. And is this going to be the point in time where the lights turn on, the switch gets flipped, and he gets it? Like, he can be an every down player, because that's been his, the knock on him is he can rush the passer, but when it comes to the run game, he's absent. So hopefully he can turn it around with yet another new team and show that his career is not over yet.
All right, next we've got the NFC North here, Joe. The Bears. Take Chicago. It away with the Bears.
Yeah, Chicago Bears. Yeah, we got the wide receiver. Rome Odunze is going to be my X-factor player.
Okay.
And you saw glimpses of him in his rookie year with Caleb Williams, and you saw the familiarity. You saw the chemistry that was built once they got to Chicago, started throwing the ball around. And now you're with a – don't get me wrong. You got a new offense to learn, new regime in place. I think it's going to be good for both of them. And for Rome Odunze, I think he's going to take yet another big step forward in his sophomore year, because in his rookie year, he was at every game. He only had 54 catches. He had 734 yards. For a guy his size, I expected a higher total in touchdowns, but he only had three of them. I think he's going to at least double that this year. And not just that, but also the yardage is going to go up. We're going to see somewhere in the range of 900 to 1,000 for Rome Odunze this year. And I think as far as the catches go, those are going to go way up. You might even see him get 85 or so catches. So I think it's going to be a big year for Rome Odunze, and he's going to be my X factor for the Bears, because I love the chemistry between him and Caleb Williams already that's there. And now both of them coming together for a second year with Chicago, I think that's going to add up pretty quick.
Right, right. And I looked at Rome Odunze too as well. That was one of the factors I took into this too. But I think the glaring one, and again, it's easy to say quarterback, but I think the decider on this one's got to be Caleb Williams and how he plays. He was up and down last year, but not really a terrible season, but he was also getting involved in the run. A lot of it, though, with that offensive line chasing them down, running backwards, trying to make a play out of nowhere. So I think with Ben Johnson and company here trying to reel them in, I think that offense really just drives around how he is going to play. And like you said, that could potentially mean that Rome Odunze is going to be that X-factor player in turn on top of it. But I think it all – their success, whether they win or lose – it all has to go in Caleb Williams' hands, so I'm going to go with Caleb Williams as my X-factor player.
Problem that I have with Caleb is that he holds onto the ball, which right. is the reason why he was running around for his life, because he wasn't throwing on time. Mm-hmm. He wasn't doing what he should have been doing. And he reverts back to what he was doing in college. You can't do that at the NFL level. So maybe Ben Johnson will be the answer. Maybe Ben Johnson will teach him, like, listen, playing the way you're playing, you're going to be out of the league in no time. So you either do it this way or you're not going to be here very long. So maybe Ben Johnson's going to be just what the doctor ordered for Caleb Williams, and, you know, getting on his case a little bit, keeping it all business. So we'll see how that works out this year.
Yeah, absolutely, Joe. So there you go. There's the Bears moving in through the NFC North. We got the Lions.
So for the Lions, it's kind of easy that this is like one of those teams where kind of like the Eagles, where you can't be too wrong with picking somebody off of this roster. But I'm still betting on this guy to have that big breakout year. He hasn't quite had it. He had a good year last year, but I think he takes another step forward this year, staying out of trouble in Detroit. Give me the wide receiver, Jameson Williams. I think this dude is super electrifying. He's super special. And the crazy thing, check this stat out. Last year, he had 1,001 receiving yards, 7 touchdowns on only 58 catches. The guy is definitely the deep threat for Detroit. And he only played in 15 games. He didn't even play the whole season. So it's like, this guy has untapped potential. He needs to put it together. He needs to stay healthy, of course, but also stay out of trouble this year as well. So if he can do those two things, then sky's the limit for Jameson Williams.
Yeah, I hear you on Jameson Williams. I almost picked him as well, too. But I'm going to go on the defensive side of the ball, and I'm going to go with the guy, again, who's coming off a, you know, surgery, an injury. We've seen videos of him now working out to try and get up to speed. A lot of people are saying he doesn't look right, doesn't look good enough. We'll see when he goes out back out there on the field. But we've noticed a difference, too, when he's not on the field with that defense. The QBRs of the opposite team is better. The, you know, blitz is down, you know.
Aiden Hutchinson.
Yeah, Aiden Hutchinson, absolutely. Because coming back from it, is he going to be the same impactful player? We hope he will be, and that's the difference. Because you saw when he wasn't in there and they made it to the playoffs and things like that, not having him was a major factor because just about every down he is in the quarterback's face. And if you don't have that guy there, and it wasn't going to be Anzalone every time or some of these other guys, he's the guy. And so he is the most impactful player for them. And coming off this injury, I feel like he's got to be that X factor on that defense for that Detroit Lions team. But I like James Williams, too, as well.
Of course, Aiden Hutchinson's going to be an X factor. I mean, that's just a lock. That's not hard. But the one thing that I will say is the reason why they had no pass rush without Aiden in there is because they had no other pass rushers.
That was
the problem. Like, they just didn't get the guy help. Yeah. Now you look at what they brought in Marcus there.
There's Davenport.
Davenport, yeah. Mm-hmm. Davenport's definitely going to be a big help for him opposite him, and people aren't going to be able to always double-team Aiden. You're going to have to keep tabs on Marcus. So I like what the Lions did in totality. Like, they just made their overall team better. They re-signed their guys last year that they wanted to keep, still young, like, I love the direction that Detroit is headed, and it's going to be something special again this year. I think they're going to go pretty deep in the year to come.
All right, Joe. All right, next up we've got the Green Bay Packers here as we look at the NFC North's X factors.
So for Green Bay, I struggled a little bit because I was trying to find someone on defense. I so badly wanted to give it to someone on defense. But a lot of times those guys on defense keep getting injured. So
yeah,
I'm just tough. I don't want to roll the dice on a defensive player now, but I will roll the dice on the offense. I'll go back to wide receiver yet again, and I'm going to go with who I think is their best wide receiver, and that's Jaden Reed. Jaden Reed, to me, when he is healthy, he's kind of like the go-to guy. And again, looking at a stat line from last year, 857 yards, 6 touchdowns, only on 55 catches. So was he banged up throughout the year? Yes. He didn't miss any games, but he was definitely banged up. But for him to have that kind of production and to fight through whatever he was dealing with and being kind of like the favorite target, I expect big things for him again this year. I think Jaden Reed is going to be even better for the Green Bay Packer fans out there, all the cheeseheads. So give me Jaden Reed for my X factor player this season.
All right. Yeah. I looked at him too as well. You know, wide receivers, looking around, see who could be that impactful guy. And then I'm looking at the defensive side too, and it was tough to find. But again, I'm looking at a guy who's on, I think, again, his third year, so it's a prove it year. Had, you know, playing time, and when he is out there, he is impactful. So, but just hasn't been able to get that starting spot. Now he's kind of thrown into that spot again. So a prove it year can be that impact guy. We hope. If not, it's going to bomb. So I think that's what makes him the X factor. And for me, it's Lucas Van Ness on defense. Again,
stay healthy, Lucas.
Here, stay healthy, exactly, because I think if he can, and now he's shown that, you know, here you go, you got the spot now, he could be that potential difference maker here for that defense.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, that's the only thing that I worry about on the defensive side of the ball is a lot of those guys across the board were being hampered with injuries, missing time. Lucas Van Ness wasn't even in the starting lineup. He was more of just a rotational piece, which was weird to me because they drafted him so high.
Yeah.
So now he finally gets a shot. We'll see what he can do with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing is some of these guys, they draft high and they don't see the field as much. So it's something to gauge them where they are, but that's what kind of makes them the X factor now at this point too, because what are they going to do? Are they going to make an impact now? Now it's their time to shine. We've got a couple comments here to catch up with some of these guys. We've got Christian Dickinson in the house with us tonight.
What up, Christian?
What's up, Christian? Giants are headed to the effing Super Bowl. did he let a Cowboys fan like take over his account for today and say, meant to say Cowboys?
It's possible he got hacked.
He got hacked. He's drinking the Kool-Aid or something too. Who knows? All right. He says could be the best defensive line you've ever seen coming out of MetLife this season. That's true there. I think best. You know, you've seen it come out of MetLife. Absolutely. And then also he's right here with Giants X Factor player. He says Jalen Hyatt put on 25 pounds this off season, bulking up. But yeah, we were looking at Jalen Hyatt too as well. We like what he could potentially do this year. He could potentially be that guy because we've been looking, haven't seen him. I've been waiting for him to do something here. You know, he's got the talent, he's out there, but I think he also has the quarterback he needed to perform at his best ability this season.
Yeah, real quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, I know, right? And then Christian also says, going to be a big change with Russ in the saddle, giving him the deep ball. Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you, Christian. We appreciate it out there. Appreciate the comments. Guys, bring in the comments, man. We love it. We'll stop everything. Talk to you guys out there. Whatever you guys got to say, we love it out there. So, all right, we're covering the NFC North right now. We are finishing up here with the Vikings, Joe. Vikings, what do you got for the Vikings?
So when it came to the Minnesota Vikings, I almost went wide receiver, almost. But I kept looking through the roster and looking through, and I'm like, there's got to be somebody that I'm not really thinking of yet that I really probably should bring up. And you look at to the running back, you know, that whole category there, and they acquired a guy by the name of Jordan Mason. And to be honest with you, Jordan Mason, very young, 5'11", 223, guy was a stud for the 49ers. He was nonstop. A guy who only played 12 games and had 789 rushing yards and 3 touchdowns. I mean, this dude's talent is off the charts. Like, he deserves to be the starter. And I mean the featured back for Minnesota. And I think that's what's going to end up happening when we get close to week one. I think they're going to make that decision. Mason's going to be the starter. And Aaron Jones is going to have to rotate in when needed. Jordan Mason, to me, is going to be my X factor for this year because they're also going to have to rely on Mason a lot more than years past when they had a proven quarterback. They're going in with J.J. McCarthy. This is essentially his rookie year. We haven't seen him play a real live NFL game when it mattered. So I think they're going to lean heavy on the run game. Jordan Mason's going to be a pivotal point for that offense, and he's going to be my X factor for the Vikings.
Run, bitch! Run!
Yeah. Run! yeah, I see you there. And so, and again, it might be glaring obvious here. I looked at Jordan Mason, too, on top of that. But I think the obvious one, again, is just the decider here on this whole thing and whether they win or lose. That's the X factor, and it's got to be J.J. McCarthy because you had Sam Darnold last year was performing, and they only did as well as they did just because how he performed. Yes, he got a lot of talent around him. We get that. But if J.J. McCarthy doesn't perform anywhere near of what Sam Darnold did last year, there's a big effing problem because you had Sam Darnold in the house. You drafted this guy. Here he is by himself with the keys to the Ferrari like we talked about before. He is the biggest, most impactful player here for this team in what direction it goes this season. So that's the X factor, I think, for this team.
I have a hard time giving an X factor to a rookie, basically, quarterback that has – we don't know what he can do. I think what's going to end up happening is they're going to have to protect J.J. McCarthy more than him making the plays. Yeah, I think he's still going to be able to make the throws and all that kind of thing, but I don't think he's going to be asked to lead the team. That's where the running style is going to come into play, and they're going to play off of that, obviously, with play action and what have you. But it's hard for me. Like, I kind of wanted to give, like, for the Falcons coming up, I almost wanted to give it to Michael Penix as the X factor, but then I'm like, he hasn't really proven anything, so how can I how can I even give him an X factor tag? So it's tough. Like, I just have a hard time giving that kind of a tag to a quarterback who hasn't shown anything yet. But we'll see, because here's the thing. Let's just say J.J. McCarthy goes out and sucks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the panic button's going to be real close, because they don't want to go backwards. They've already, you know, made the moves that they made, not bringing back Sam Darnold. I still think that was a mistake, and because you don't know what you have with JJ. So we'll see this year, good, bad, or ugly, what McCarthy can do for the Vikings.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so there you go. There's the NFC North. We'll get to the next couple divisions in a little bit. We're going to get to some comments. Shout out to our man Mike Tackett out there.
What up, Mike?
With us tonight, Mike. What's up? He always brings some good questions to us. He wants to know about what are you guys more excited for, Madden 26 or College Football 26? Let us know out there in the comments too what you guys think out there.
College Football 26 all day long. I hate the Madden series. I used to love it when I was growing up, when I was younger and everything, and I thought it was amazing. But now it's gotten so stagnant. Like, there's really not that many big changes at all, and they still have so many issues, even though the football community constantly writes them and emails them and said, hey, fix this. Hey, fix that. Hey, and they still don't fix anything. They're just like, hey, look, we got some new shiny lights in this game, and be happy with that. So, yeah, I'm definitely looking towards College Football 26 more.
Yeah, I can see that too. Madden, again, they just make a few differences to make some people happy, but enough that you could still complain. It's like they know what they could fix it. Yeah, it's like one of those things, like, you know, like anything with technology, stuff like that. They could fix it right away, but if they just do that, then you're not going to buy the next one, then the next one, then the next one. They're just going to keep just enough that you're going to keep hoping that something gets a little better every year and keep going for it. Some people will keep doing that and have that mindset. I'm not. I gave up on the franchise a long time ago. Like you said, I barely play it when it's free on Game Pass. You have to beg me to play this game. And then even for my time that I even have, I've been trying to play college football, but I don't have time for that. It looks great, and I hear a lot of different things, and I would love to get into it. But, I mean, just to get a franchise going in your school, it sounds amazing and looks good, but I still have yet to play it. But it looks like it would be fun. I wouldn't mind playing again if somebody, again, just invited me to a game, and I'm like, sure, I'll jump on quick and try it out. Which reminds me, I think tomorrow, Joe, I think you've played Maximum Football now, right?
Yes, I have.
I have played it. How about tomorrow, Mike Tackett, you join in with us too. Let's do a review of Maximum Football, what we think about it a little bit too.
I have a lot of negative reviews.
On our Football on the No show on Wednesday nights, by the way, you guys too. So look up Football on the No show, follow us. And we'll do a review of that on top of the biggest questions for the NFC North. So yeah, look for that. Because I want to see your take on it too. Well, we haven't talked about it all. You've played it. I've played it. We haven't talked to Mike about it. And Mike was involved in getting that game going and testing it too as well. So I can't wait to see the reactions or the input everybody has on that one. So,
yeah, for all the rest of the Blitz Nation out there, we want you to tune in. Tell us what you think about Madden 26 versus College Football 26. We want to hear from you guys out there as well.
Yeah, let us know in the comments out there. All right, Nathan. Nathan's back with us. He says, going back to the East and the Cowboys. Here he goes. Talking, can't stop about the talk about the Cowboys. he says the X factor I see on that team is Turpin. With CD, Jake Ferg, and adding Pickens, I think it's going to leave a lot of opportunities for him to be productive, along with his special team skills we saw last year. I think teams are going to sleep on him like they did when Beasley was there. I looked at Turpin quick, and I wasn't sure, but there's so much depth in that team at wide receiver. I think it's kind of
Right. And that's gonna be the thing. Like I could see Turpin coming in and getting a few plays like he did last year, but I don't think he's gonna be like a focal point of the offense where he's in there the majority of the snaps. Mm-hmm. So because they do want him still as the return man. And honestly, I've also heard rumors about him being worked at running back.
Running back.
Mm-hmm. So with his blazing speed, you know, give him the rock and let him run outside. Like, you know, seal that edge and let's see what you can do. So I think they're going to be creative with Turpin. I think that's where the excitement is building. I just don't think he's going to be a major focal point in that offense. I still think he's going to be involved for sure. But I don't think he's going to be to the stature where the fans are starting to think that he's going to be a starter in the lineup.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you on that one, Joe. Again, I looked at it, but no, I went a different route. All right, Mike Tackett's got another question here. He says, word coming out of Cleveland is Mason Graham is not nearly where Cleveland wants him to be. Does Cleveland have buyer's remorse for not drafting offensive tackle Armand Membu or Genty instead?
I think so, because if you go back to the first rookie OTAs, this dude was puking.
Puking
because he wasn't in football shape, because he wasn't ready to do all the drill. It was insane to me. I don't even know. Does Michigan practice? Because it didn't look like it. That dude was chucking some big chunks on the field. and the dude just wasn't working out. He was dying. He couldn't even move at the end of the day. So, I think they do have buyer's remorse. And some of the critics that were out there saying they're not sure about this guy, maybe they were right about Mason Graham. Maybe he wasn't. As hyped up as he was, maybe he just wasn't as good as advertised.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, again, as a Michigan fan, I was upset about it, too. And I was hoping, too, and watching him puking. I'm like, maybe he's just really trying hard. He's just like, oh, you know, here we go. He's making himself puke to death. That he's just going, it doesn't look good. So another one, Mike's going to bust me on, Mr. Ohio State out there. I had to hang out with an Ohio State fan again this weekend when I went to Babchick's party here. Michael Babchick here from Mad Dog on Sirius XM. That was a good time. Shout out to him out there. You know, the Babs Bash too. That was a great time. You missed, Joe. A lot of good entertainment, food, and good peoples down there. But yeah, I keep hearing it from Ohio State fans everywhere I go. I can say, hey, you know, we beat them though. You know what I mean?
For the Buckeyes, it's funny because Jeremiah Smith, he's seen as the number one guy coming out whenever he decides to come out from Ohio State. He just tweeted out today that he guarantees that Michigan will not beat them the next 2 years.
Oh,
so
there you go.
Some big words. That's some bulletin board material for the Michigan Wolverines. So you got Ohio State, you better come correct this year.
Oh, man. Nice.
Next 2 years.
There you go. Yeah, I even posed a question to guys out there, too. I'm like, which would you rather have? You guys got the title, right? You got the national title. You lost to Michigan. Would you rather have you have that title, or is it more important to beat Michigan? And some of them were like, I'd rather beat Michigan than to get the title. I'm like, you're smoking something. That's what's wrong with you fans out there, bro.
I'd rather
title. That's forever.
We're champions.
Yeah.
You're champions.
So what? Yeah, exactly. Because if any even Michigan fan, and I'm not going to do it, but if you go and say, hey, well, we beat you this year and you're the champions, we beat you. Yeah, but I've got the jewelry, bro. Like, won.
That's right.
I've got the
– we're champions.
We won.
You're not.
The tips. So there you go. Oh, mic drop. Like, seriously.
That's right.
All right, so anyways.
Kiss the ring.
Kiss the ring. Mike Tackett says that's a bold move. Cotton. Let's see if it works out for them. We'll see. Right. I'm thinking about making this rivalry get a little bigger. Like Mike and I should do a bet. Like he shaves his head a lot or something. But maybe I'll shave my head if Michigan loses or something like that. Like a crazy bet this year, Michigan, Ohio State. But we'll talk about it when that comes down the road. Shout out to Nathan again. He thinks Turpin gets 5+ TDs this year, and he's buying me a Turpin jersey. Ooh. I have to wear it on the show. What? If Turpin gets 5+ TDs this year? I'm like, come on, man. That's five easy, TDs? Though. That's easy. Come on, man. All right, come on. Yeah. Give me something else, man. Give me a better bet, too. I'm placing bets out there. Give me bets out there. I'll do whatever you want. Come on. Bring it on. All right, Joe. So, all right, we're talking about X-Factor players. That's right. You know, X-Factor players for the NFC. We've covered the East, covered the North. It's time for the Dirty South. Joe, you talked about Falcons. I'll just say mine quick again. It was tough. I looked at a bunch. And, yes, maybe I went for that out there. And, yes, he's not proven. But I think a factor here, after a few couple games that he had last year, looks like he could potentially turn the corner. But I'm going to go with Michael Penix Jr. because he's got to be the guy, though, just because it all sways on how he performs. And if he doesn't, you know, that's it. That's the nail in the coffin here. So he's the X factor.
But that's the thing, though. Every quarterback in the league is
factor. To an extent.
Of course, because that's the direction of your offense. I mean, Michael Penix, who hasn't proven anything, like, come on. I don't know. I wouldn't label him the X factor because he hasn't proven anything at all. Mm-hmm. But for me, like for the Falcons, I'm going to go with a rookie in linebacker, Jalen Walker, who they just got this year. Jalen Walker, I think, is going to be a phenomenal stud for them. Finally, they're going to get a guy who can not just pass rush, but a guy who can also play the field. He can cover. He can spy on your quarterback, running back. He can make all the tackles, sideline to sideline. Guy is blazing fast for his size. And I'm super excited to see what the Falcons do with him on defense. Are they going to line him up only on the outside? Are they going to have him as a middle linebacker? I'm very curious what, in fact, they're going to do. Most likely he'll play outside linebacker and they'll have the opportunity whether to go in coverage or go right after the quarterback and running back. So give me the man, the myth, the legend that will be Jalen Walker.
Yeah, that was going to be my pick if I didn't go with Michael Penix Jr. So maybe I should have did it anyways, Joe, and saved myself on that one. But, you know, because I was like, again, you know, that's a guy, but it's a rookie too. And I was like, I'm not sure there. Because I did look at a bunch of rookies all around for a couple different teams. I'm like, do I want to go rookie, though? But that's one guy, yeah, I was looking at, too. So kudos there. Nathan says 10-plus touchdowns. Now, that's a little more – that's more like
that's
it.
Better.
But,
that's better.
Yeah, there you go. 10-plus touchdowns.
I would do eight.
Well, do I add in 10 touchdowns, but that's not just on offense, but that includes special teams?
Of course.
And it has to. Special teams on that one? Okay.
It has to.
Maybe we will. I'll think about it. We got a lot of time until that season starts. All right, Mike Tackett, he says, nobody talks about when Saban lost to Auburn. They remember his national championship win. Yeah, right. That's right. Exactly. Right.
Good point, Mike.
Penix is the AARP factor. What the fuck?
AARP? He just retired Kirk Cousins.
Nice.
Is that his agent? Is Michael Penix his AARP agent?
Yeah. I like that. Oh, man. I don't have the soundbite ready, but yeah, there you go. Yeah. That's a good one. I like it, Mike. Mike's always bringing the thunder here. All right, so let's move on to the Panthers. Panther Joe, what do you got here?
So for the Panthers, I could have went a couple different ways. Obviously, Tedrone McMillan got drafted by Carolina. That's going to be a lot of hype around him. But being his rookie year, I'm just not sure how fast he can acclimate. Because that's usually for wide receivers, it's one of the toughest things to do is produce in your first year in the NFL. So I went with second-year wide receiver Xavier Leggett, who I think is going to be the X factor for the Panthers this year. Tedrone McMillan, obviously a lot of hype there, the size and all that. But give me Xavier Leggett, who looks really good in the offseason, by the way. A guy who's been working a lot on his route running skills. And that was the knock on him coming out of South Carolina into the draft, is he's a little raw in that aspect. So working hard all offseason up into the training camp. I love what his work ethic is. He's going to be a stud. Give me Xavier Leggett.
Yep, yep. I was looking at Leggett too again because, again, when you're picked in the first round, you got to kind of perform here. And, yeah, he was lackluster last year. We'll get him to step up. I like that one too.
I mean, he had 49 catches, 497 yards receiving, four touchdowns, but he wasn't the biggest part of the offense.
Right,
And the fact that that offense was struggling.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't all that. So, I think he's going to have a big year this year. I think this will be his breakout year.
Yep. All right, for me, I looked at him, but I didn't go there. I went with defensive tackle Derek Brown. Coming back, hopefully healthy here to help him out. I think, again, that defense was just putrid again last year. Worst in the league on many different phases, just about everything. Mm-hmm. And to have him back, you know, from a year prior before he was injured, he's mm-hmm. lights out, like a major key player. So the fact that they didn't have him all season just about last year, coming back, that's going to impact this defense, at least to help this offense out and get it going and get back on, you know, doing something here. Hopefully Bryce Young can perform. And like you said, Leggett steps up. But I think it's a key factor here for this defense here. So I'm going to go with Derek Brown as the X factor.
For sure.
All right, next
New Orleans. Derek Brown came back from an injury, too. So hopefully he is 100% mm-hmm. before we even get to training camp. And I expect mm-hmm. him to be because he is the guy that – he is the glue that keeps everything together for that defensive line for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, next, who do you got for the Saints, Joe?
Saints, to me, is it's kind of easy. This is, some people might not even know who this guy is. They should. But defensive end Carl Granderson. This dude is an absolute beast off the edge. He doesn't get enough accolades. He doesn't get enough hype. But, man, this guy just produces, just creates absolute havoc in the back half of the field. So this guy has routinely had about five sacks since he entered in 2019. 2019 was a rookie, only had one sack, didn't really get on the field, but then had five, had three, had five and a half, had eight and a half in 23, and then five and a half just past year. He needs some damn help. Well, the Saints went out and they marched back in and they got him some more help. And this is where I think he's going to have that big, big time type of breakout year for him, getting into the double-digit sacks. I think Carl Granderson, to me, is going to be the X factor for the Saints because guess what, Jim? It can't be quarterback.
It can't, and I don't like any of the quarterbacks either. So, yes, I agree. It can't be quarterback. Oh, man, I like it. Nice. Way to bring it, Joe. All right, I'm not going quarterback this time, all right?
All right.
So I'm going to go with offensive tackle Talisi Fuaga.
All right. I love it.
Love
it.
Yes. You like that?
Giving the big men some praise.
Yes. Yeah, you like that? So, and just this is key because, again, last year, if you don't remember, you know, he's a right tackle, right? So then they started him at left tackle, not his natural position, and he didn't play as well here. So now that they drafted Kelvin Banks Jr. at left tackle, he can move to the right tackle spot now. So that is key for this offense. And whatever quarterback, whether it's Tyler Shook or Spencer Rattler again or whoever, at least to try and help those guys and protect them a little bit for whatever they do until they turn the ball over. I think Talisi Fuaga, key player.
I gotta say, I think the Saints offensive line is going to be one of the best offensive lines this year. I'll tell you that right now.
There you go.
They're all healthy. They locked up both tackle spots. Like, I mean, Tyler Shook, he's going to win the job, at least right now.
Yeah, right now, so far.
Whoever it is going to be pretty comfortable back there. I think mm-hmm. they're gonna do a really good job pass protecting, opening up the rushing lanes. So, who knows? I don't expect much for the Saints, but at least their offensive line is gonna be really good.
Yep. Exactly, Joe. So that's why I went off pace. I didn't go quarterback. I went with offensive tackle. What are you guys? I know you like the hog mollies on that one.
That's right, baby.
So, all right, so that brings up.
Give them some accolades.
Yeah, for the big men. All right, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Who you got for the Bucs?
So the Buccaneers, like, obviously, there's a lot of ways you can go here. They have talent from top to bottom. They're one of the, I feel like they're one of the teams in the NFL that you can just bet on that they're going to be in the postseason. They're so complete from head to toe, but there's a guy that kind of broke out last year as a rookie. And I think he is, to their offense, he is the X factor, and that's Bucky Irving, the running back. The dude in his rookie campaign, and mind you, he didn't start the whole season. He had to earn that job. He had to take it away from Rashad White. He had to take it away from him. Mm. And by the halfway through the year, he ended up being the starter and had 1,100 rushing yards and 8 touchdowns. That's not even counting the amount of catches this guy's had, the receiving yards he's had. Like, he had just under 400 yards receiving. He had 47 catches. I mean, the guy was kind of the go-to guy, minus the receivers, was the guy who kind of really made that offense hum. So Bucky Irving, I think, is going to be the X factor this year as well.
Mm-hmm. Joe, I picked Bucky Irving as well.
Yeah! Yes,
we finally got one together. Rejoice. It took the whole time finally to get one that we agree on. But Bucky Irving, for everything you said, again, this guy all over the place, not expected to be that guy. He just took it and ran with it, yeah. And that offense just flourished through him. You know, not only did, you know, Baker Mayfield do what he did, but Bucky Irving, Baker Mayfield couldn't do what he could do without having a guy like that with Bucky Irving here for them. So, again, he was that surprise player, that, you know, that whole, you know, magic in a bottle. I think he's going to do it again this year, too. I like it. Bucky Irving is my guy, too, as well. Like that. All right. So finally moving on to the West as we look at X Factor players. Again, let us know in the comments what you guys think. Let us know, too, if you've got some X Factors out there.
For sure. Yeah.
All right. The West, let's look at the Arizona Cardinals. This one was tough for me. So I don't even have one yet, but I kind of got an idea. But let's see what we got.
All right. You want me to go?
Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
So for the Cardinals, for me, I also had a hard time. Because I could have went with Marvin Harrison Jr. I feel like that would have been an easy one. Like, cause I think he's going to take another step forward in his second year. I really do. You know, Kyler Murray and his chemistry, they're building. Trey McBride, I mean, is a dead giveaway, to be honest. But I went on the defensive side. I think they've done a lot of work defensively this offseason via free agency, draft, trade. So I'm going to go with the guy who they just recently acquired, and that's edge rusher Josh Sweat from the Philadelphia Eagles. The past 4 years has had double-digit quarterback hits. That means you're not just getting in the back, you know, behind the line of scrimmage. You're also knocking the quarterback around. You're creating pressure. You're getting after him. This past year, he had 8 sacks. You know, this guy has just been a very special player for the Philadelphia Eagles, and he's going to continue that for the Arizona Cardinals. I don't know how different the defensive scheme is going from Philly to Arizona or how he's going to be utilized. Obviously he'll be the pass rusher, but, what other capacity is he going to be asked to do? Is he going to be asked to be in coverage? Is he going to just be asked to don't worry about anything, just rush the passer or whatever? But I think Josh Sweat is going to be my X factor player for the Cardinals.
Yeah, I looked at him and I was like, man, maybe I do him, you know, and stuff like that. Maybe that's what I'm going to go with. And I'm like, but I wasn't sure. So I think I ended up going with like wide receiver Michael Wilson, actually, just because. Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
Hey, Marvin Harrison Jr. again started to pick back up last year. I think he's going to do better this year. That's going to be the guy that everybody's looking for. But they bring in Zay Jones. They already have Michael Wilson there. So I'm seeing this guy could potentially step up and perform here and kind of be that number two guy here and show what he can do and take on a bigger role with the offense. So he has potential for a breakout season here under this offense again and this team with Jonathan Gannon, who surprised people. And partially, again, why what I saw last year is why I think Arizona is one of my dark horse teams. And I think this guy could potentially be one of those guys, you know, to kind of step up and be that X factor for them. But
just stay healthy, Mike.
And I even looked
just stay healthy.
Too. Yeah.
He missed some time last year. It seems like the last couple of years, he just can't stay on the field. So if the guy does, he's got potential, man. Like I've seen him make some crazy catches, for Kyler Murray. So, big wide receiver, man, if this guy could just stay healthy, he could be another favorite target of his.
Yep, absolutely. All right, so next let's move on to the Los Angeles Rams.
So for the Rams, I didn't go wide receiver. I didn't go quarterback. I didn't go running back. I didn't go probably the defensive player you're thinking. But I went defensive tackle, Kobe Turner. That's my X factor. Ooh. And let me tell you why. Mm-hmm. This man gets overlooked way too often. He got drafted in 23. He had 9 sacks as a rookie. And this past year, he had 8 sacks at the D-tackle position. This dude is lean, mean, fighting machine. He is the ram for that defense. He gets after it. And we talked about Josh Sweat for the Arizona Cardinals. Well, get this. At the D-tackle position, my man Kobe in 23 had 16 quarterback hits. And this past year, he had 13 quarterback hits. It seems like the trend for Kobe Turner is just going to continue to go up. And to be honest, we all know, you know, Jared Verse. We all know Braden Fisk on that D-line. But Kobe Turner does not get enough praise. This dude is going to be an absolute menace again this year. Give me Kobe Turner as my X factor, baby.
Nice. I like it, Joe, because especially that's our second in a row, though, the second one we got together. Kobe Turner. I like that one as well. Kobe Turner, again, this one was a tough one for me to gauge and look at. But, again, I like that, too. I went on the defensive side of the ball, and I thought the same thing. I'm looking
How was he
at
getting
that,
overlooked?
His name just jumped right up, and I'm like, exactly. I'm like, dude, this guy was a baller last year. And I think, again, he's a key player here with who they have out there. I think that's the thing sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, some of those guys, performers can get overlooked, almost under the radar type of players. All right, so next let's move on to the San Francisco 49ers, Joe. What do you got?
So I got for the 49ers, I don't know, man. I wanted to go defense, to be honest. I really wanted to pick a player to go defense. I don't really like the rookie coming in, Michael Williams. He reminds me too much of Raider, the Wilson over there for the Raiders, a guy who got drafted high, who's kind of got the same size, looks the same, walks the same. I got some concerns there. But I went offensive again for the 49ers, and I went with a guy who got shot last year, came back.
Mm-hmm.
Got back into the lineup, fought his way in, and won the hearts of all the 49er fans. That is Ricky Parasol. This dude, 6'3", 189, and just flat out makes it work. Like, this guy makes very difficult catches. He will go over the middle of the field for you. He will do whatever need be to make the play. Very physical wide receiver as well with speed. I think he's just going to keep continuing to get better. Last year, he only played 11 games, obviously, because of the incident, but had 400 yards, only 31 catches, 3 touchdowns. And I think he's going to double all of those categories. I think this guy is going to be the absolute X factor for this offense. Yes, we all know Juwan Jennings and all that, but Ricky Parasol is going to be the next man up for the Niners this year.
All right, Joe, again, and there's number 3. Boom, I had Ricky Parasol as well. So there he goes. So.
What's happening in this
took
division?
A while, but now we're all on page. Yeah, so the division, I guess we're just on board with.
I guarantee you we're not on board with the next team. Guaranteed.
Yeah, probably not. But we'll see. We shall see. Because, again, that's the thing. He was shot. You know, he started to play, so he, you know, didn't get to see everything. But there's potential. And now with out Debo there, you've got – you know, George Kittle again redoing his contract. Ayuk again just banged up all the time. Still, when he asked to be that guy, hasn't really kind of been that guy either. Parasol is there. kind of the, you know, to be that guy. So that I see a breakout year for him as well. All right. So next, finally here with the Seattle Seahawks, as we round out our NFC X Factor players, Joe, what do you got for Seattle?
So this is the player that Jim will not have in this division.
Will not have.
He will not. Mm-hmm. And like Jim, going back to the Saints, giving love to the Hog Mollies up front, the offensive lineman, I'm going to give it to a rookie offensive lineman this year. Ooh. My X factor for the Seattle Seahawks is none other than guard Gray Zabel. This is going to be a guy who can play not one, two, three, four, all five positions up front. So if anybody is to get hurt, this guy can quickly move to another spot if need be and hold it down. This guy is so talented that and the Seahawks have been desperate for a really good guard. They finally get at least one here in Gray Zabel, and a guy who can not just play the guard position but all the positions on the offensive line. Give me X factor this year that's going to hold up the line, Gray Zabel.
Boom. There you go. I like it. I like it there, Joe. Yeah, this is a tough one for Seattle. I did not do that one. Yeah, so kudos to you there. I had thought about running back situation, but again, maybe it was too easy for one of those guys. Kenneth Walker, you know, Kenneth Walker kind of gets he gets injured too. So I thought maybe Charbonnet, but then maybe Damian Martinez gets a sneak in there just because of Kenneth Walker being injured or not. But
true.
Yeah, but I'm thinking maybe just again this. Yeah, no, yeah. This might be partially part of it though too, just because I'm going wide receiver, and just because he has kind of been known to kind of be that threat deep for, we've seen it for the Chiefs and whatnot and stuff. I'm going with Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Yes. He's kind of the X factor, I think, on this one. Yeah, not. You know, a household name, people kind of know him, and he's kind of been there, made some rosters, but seeing they've dumped, you know, Lockett, they don't have DK Metcalf there. They did bring in Cooper Kupp, so he's going to draw some attention here in the slot area. Smith and Jigba is their star player, but I think, again, this guy on certain plays, he's going to sneak past the defense and get some deep routes to him, and I think Sam Darnold's going to try and bomb it out to him. So I think he's going to kind of have that big playability for him and at times. I'm not saying he's going to be explosive, but I think he can kind of be that X factor for them on some of those types of plays. I'm going to go with MVS.
The only thing that I worry about MVS is pulling his hamstring again, because it seems to be a reoccurring thing with him. Yes, he's a deep threat, but that's really all he is. He's not multidimensional. He doesn't run the whole route tree. I think he's only been used as a deep threat. So I don't know how much of a threat he is. Like when DK Metcalf was in Seattle, everybody was worried about him going deep. Everybody. I don't think people view MVS in that same limelight. And maybe that goes to his advantage, and maybe he can exploit that from time to time. But I don't know if it'll be enough. I think Jackson Smith and Jigba, out of everybody, is going to pay huge dividends, because he's going to be he was the go-to guy last year. Got a lot of catches. You know, underneath routes and all that, moving the chains. And I think that he's going to have a lot more of that, but I feel like he's going to be kind of featured almost this year, because people, like you said, maybe they might keep tabs on MVS, and maybe they're going to keep tabs on someone else, and Jackson Smith and Jigba might be able to reap the rewards here. So we'll see how it all pans out, because it's a different, completely different dynamic now in Seattle on offense. You don't have Geno Smith anymore. Now you got Sam Darnold. It's a different quarterback. You know, he had one really good year as a starter. Can he duplicate that in Seattle with a new team, new offense, new wide receivers? You know what I mean? So we'll see. We'll have to wait and see what Seattle can do this year. A lot of change.
Yep, absolutely, Joe. Yep, absolutely. So there you go. There's the NFC X Factor players. So we've covered the whole NFL now. So we'll see what happens with any of that. See if we hit, see if we miss. It's going to be a hell of a lot of fun. The NFL had posted their top eight divisions based on, you know, quarterbacks and stuff like that. And I went over with mine, and they were a little off. Yeah, you know, the last two were close, and then it kind of gets crazy from there. but we both had the AFC West as the number one division based off of quarterbacks.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, with the talent that they had there. One thing I thought was interesting is how they dogged the AFC North.
Really?
Even after, and they did this list after Rodgers. I did it before, and I still had the AFC North like third. I had the West, the East, and then the North, and they had the West, and then the NFC West, and then the NFC East, and then the AFC North.
So, AFC North, I could see why they had them rated lower. I really can. There's question marks all over about Cleveland. Nobody really knows who the quarterback's going to be. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers mm-hmm. still has to prove that he can still be Aaron Rodgers, like back in his prime days. You know what I mean? He's got a lot to prove to not just the teammates that he has now in Pittsburgh, but also to everybody else watching. And I mean, for Lamar Jackson, as electric as he is, if it came down to him being stuck in the pocket, he has struggled to get the job done there. We've seen it in the playoffs. So mm-hmm. I think Lamar Jackson's a special talent. I think he's an awesome quarterback because of what his abilities are. But mm-hmm. I could see why they got the division, honestly, lower than people might think. Is because there's a lot of question marks in that division still. Not Lamar, but everybody else.
Right. But right in front of them, they had, I think it was in second, they had the NFC West, which
is
Matthew Stafford, Brock Purdy, Kyler Murray, and Sam Darnold at this point. So it's interesting. It's debatable.
Yeah.
So I'm going to post the question out to you guys out there, too. Let us know what you guys think about your divisions. Rank them by quarterbacks. Look at all the quarterbacks out there, and then rejoin with the show next week, and we'll see what you guys come up with, and we'll revisit it, and we'll go side by side with ours and theirs and see if you guys what you guys came out with. So we appreciate it out there. Joe, tell everybody
more
time.
I just got to say thank you, Blitz Nation. You guys have been amazing. Love the comment section. When that's starting to burn, it gets us all juiced up here. We love this shit. We love to see your comments. We love to see the questions. We like to get your input on everything that we're talking about, too. Or if there's something that if you guys want us to talk about something, make sure you drop in the comment section. Be like, hey, what do you guys think about this thing coming up or training camp or whatever the case may be. Fantasy football's around the corner, everybody. Get jacked up about that mm-hmm. because that's really close. Some leagues are even starting now, which is insane. But I mean, it's been a pleasure. It's been awesome. We thank you guys so much for all the support. We love you to further support us by heading over to YouTube over at Grumblings Media. Make sure you hit the subscribe button while you're there. Hit the thumbs up to let us know that you're alive. Just do that, please, for us.
Get down on your knees.
And then don't forget to share it to your family and friends. Thank you, guys. We'll see you in the next one.